It says Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals. Served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. What are the Baals and what is Ashtaroth?
Baals are these big, large things you find out in the field. You know, they get rolled up straw in them. No.
Save the comedy for
another time.
Ascension Bible.
Okay.
If you would pass.
This is...
that was a good one. I'll give you a six.
It's not that far off. Okay, it's not that far off. A Baal is the names that's given to the deities of the Canaanites, generally of the same kind of order. The name Baal means a lord or a master, generally thought of to be the son of El, the chief of the Canaanite gods. And Baal was responsible for the fertility of the womb, fertility of the fields, the gentle rains. That was the work of Baal. And the Ashtaroths are his female counterpart, his consorts. And because they are gods and goddesses of fertility, usually the practice of worship of these gods and goddesses involved some kind of sexual immorality, promiscuity, lasciviousness, cult prostitution, that type of thing. Which, of course, makes them extremely attractive to everyday normal human beings.
Where do these gods come from?
From the imagination of human beings.
So is there somebody behind the curtain somewhere inventing gods? The people are just suckers and they go,
yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah. The guy behind the curtain is the guy who's always been behind the curtain, and that is the great and terrible Satan. The devil, the deceiver, the one who makes up this stuff and tries to present gods which are not gods. Satan is always in failure, okay? Satan is always, a counterfeit of God. And what he does is, from behind the curtain, he thinks up these things or puts in the minds of people that they should be worshiping gods which reflect themselves.
That lectionary that you were talking about before had as an assigned reading here, last week, 1 Corinthians 8, as to the eating of food offered to idols, Paul
says.
Yeah,
that was this past Sunday, yes.
We know that an idol has no real existence.
Exactly.
So, how do they become so powerful? How does a god or an idol that has no real existence overtake the people of God who have the real word of God brought down by
mm-hmm.
Moses
mm-hmm.
from the Mount Sinai?
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord your God. You mm-hmm. shall have no other gods before me.
Right.
And the people say, whatever. And then they serve the Baals and
Ashtaroth. Right, sure.
How does that happen?
It's a combination of the temptation of Satan and the willingness of the sinful human nature that go together to create this propensity towards worshiping something which is not God, but
so
something which is very
close
to us. So how
much credit do you give Satan for this,
maybe half. I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much credit should he get?
Who gets the other half?
Human beings. The willingness to obey that temptation because of its attraction to our human nature.
Now, I know the answer to this question is sin.
All right.
But I need I need more definition. I need more than that.
Okay.
What is it about us, people, human beings, that puts us in a position to turn our backs on the living God and go after Baal and Ashtaroth? To bow down to them, as it says here. I mean, what are we thinking we're going to get out of bowing down to Baal, who doesn't really exist?
It's always a First Commandment issue. And, you know, Luther would say that. It's always a First Commandment issue. And it's a First Commandment issue in two respects. Number one, it is my pride that says the God that I make is better than the God that is. All right? The second is, I do not always, and I guess this is just a corollary to the first one because it does revolve around pride. The second is this, that I do not trust God who says, my will towards you is always good, but you must endure my will. I do not trust God and his good and gracious will to be good for me. I want to create a God who is going to do the good that I want for me. So, for instance, Jesus tells us that it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm sorry, I don't like tribulation. I don't know about you, but I've seen it, and I don't care for it. And therefore, I would like to have a God who does not cause me tribulation. I want a God who's going to solve all my problems. I want a God who is going to make my marriage right. I want a God who is going to give me health. I want a God who's going to make my pocket full of money. I want a God who's going to make the world work the way that I want it to work. That's the God I want. That's not the God who is, but it's the God I want.
Now,
so that, as you said, falls under the big category of sin.